שבת שלום, פרשת וירא. As we read this week parasha, we begin to disclose roots of the biggest battle, the battle of the sons of Ishmael and the sons of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. We are in a war. It's been second year of full-on war, but this combat between generations and generations and cultures and between the Muslim world who wants to end us. Yes, there's a nation that right now has a big watch in the center of their capital city talking and connecting about destroying the land of Israel. How all of this goes back into the roots of the story of Abraham, Sarah, Agar, and Ishmael. The story started with Sarah, old, cannot give birth. She gives from a pure heart, from a belief that Abraham should continue his legacy. She brings her maid to Abraham. What started as a good act by Sarah is being confronted with a laughter, with displease by Agar. The verse says that immediately when she begins and she conceived, she looks bad at Sarah. Sarah comes to Abraham and says to him, look at the way she behaves. I gave her everything. I welcomed her. Look, we live in a very interesting area. We live in an area that's surrounded by many, many, many Arab and Muslim countries. And yet in this country, everybody is welcome. And all the people here were blessed from the people of Israel, our neighbors here in Judea and Samaria, and even the neighboring in the Palestinian city all around Israel, they were welcome. They came to work down in the kibbutzim next to the Gaza strip, where people came to work on a daily basis. The gardener and the people who worked and built it, they were welcomed. Sarah says to Avram, she was welcomed. I gave her everything. I welcome her to my home. But immediately when she understood that she can be a bit more complex and she can give something to Avram that I cannot give, she already took this and looked at me in a bad way. It will continue where Ishmael is being born. And when Ishmael is being born, the first time we're going to hear the roots of laughter. He sees Yitzchak after many years, after Yitzchak is being born, and there's a laughter. The commentaries explain that a laughter, a lot of the time, is the ability to look at something in a cynical way. It doesn't exist. When Ishmael looks at Yitzchak and laughs, he basically tries to ignore the existence of Yitzchak. And it makes sense. If in the old ancient times, in the times of the law of Hammurabi in ancient times, this is according to the scholars, when a lady gave or made to continue the generations through her, if she gave birth, the son is going to be the leader of the tribe. He's going to take over. And now when Yitzchak gets into the picture after Ishmael, according to those ancient rules, not on the Torah, the local rules of Hammurabi, it means that the kingship needs to go to the original son of the mother. Therefore, when Ishmael looks at Yitzchak, he understands that recognizing his existence is not good. Recognizing his existence means that he gives place to his present. Isn't it the same thing until this day? Look at where we are. The local tribes, the local people, the Muslim world look at the son of Abraham and they understand. If they are around, what does it mean about our father Ishmael? In the book of Quran and in other scriptures, they understand that this is either or. And when Isaac, the son of Abraham, shines, comes to the world, takes his position, recognizing him means replacing them. They cannot accept that. The roots of the behavior of the Arab world continues when Sarah, with the help of the request of God, allows it to throw them away from home. You cannot inherit this place with my son, with Isaac. They go to the desert with water, and the water is finished. The word that the Torah uses to describe what happened there is nothing less than insane. Vatashlach et hayeled. She sees there's a tree with a bit of shade. She doesn't put the kid. She throws the kid and she moves to another spot. As she said, I cannot bear witness to see the agony of my child. Rav Samson Rafael Hirsch, I mentioned him in the past many times, take this verse and learn something not normal. And he says, if you can see your son suffering, your daughter suffering, and you're not with them until the very last moment, what does it mean about you? Is it not cruelty to see your own child losing his life, almost dead, and you're not there to comfort him till the last moment? I'm going up in the bracket and I'm going to say this. But this is one of the biggest questions the people of Israel are being asked, especially in the Holocaust. You saw everything and you didn't do anything. This is an heroic decision to stay with your child till the last moment. Can you accept the fact that when you see your child and you can run away, you can escape, you can save your life, but a Jewish mother, a Jewish father will stay with the kid until the very last minute, very last breath. But she is cruel, Agal. So she moves away. And it says twice that she moves away because she doesn't want to be close. It's an interesting concept where the leader looks at the starving babies, at the starving kids, at the kids that are in the mercy of God, and they live somewhere else. They can live in other Mediterranean countries in nice hotels. Inside the tunnels, when you saw the Sinoal's wife walking with this very expensive bag, we all saw the difference. A leader, a mother, a father in that tradition can sit in distance and look and see the suffering of their people, of their children. They don't want to be close. They prefer to stay in the lobby in a different Mediterranean country. At that moment, the cruelty of a girl, after that she starts to cry. But the verse again says it very, very explicit. God heard the tears of the boy, not the tears of the mother. We're going to hear in the future about tears of mother, about the tears of Rachel. God listens to the tears of mothers. And the tears of widows is mentioned many, many times in the Torah. But at this situation, when you saw your kid dying and you were in distance, it wasn't crying about him. It was crying about your misery, about your lust, not about his life. Eventually, God will listen to the voice of the boy. He will help him. He will make him survive. And this battle will start at that moment. How does a person feel when he's being kicked away from his father's home? The recognition Ishmael has and his mother has of a person that is or was connected to the roots of Abraham, and yet in the moment, in the hardest moment of being thrown away from home, he would forevermore be at that situation. It's either me or the son of Isaac. These are the roots of the battle. In a couple of weeks, we're going to hear about Esau, the difference between Esau and Jacob and Isaac and Ishmael is that there is never a connection. There's never an encounter between Isaac and Ishmael. Two separate ways, two separate paths. They cannot inherit with my son, Sarah says. And boy, she was right. In the middle of this war, in the middle of the culture of what we're seeing around us, the roots are starting all the way then in the book of Genesis. We should learn what we're dealing with, and we should learn of who is going to inherit according to the Bible. Shabbat Shalom.